Amazing grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. We are so glad you're here today. You know, some places, like I heard about in California, they're telling churches that they can't sing in church because they don't want to spread the virus. So there's no singing in church. Can I tell you what the Bible says? Can I tell you what God says about it? In Psalm 66, this is what it says. Everyone, everywhere, lift up your joyful shout to God. Everyone, everywhere, lift up your joyful shout to God. Sing your songs tuned to His glory. Tell the world how wonderful He is. How many of you agree that Jesus is wonderful? He is the awe-inspiring God. He is great and glorious in power. We've never seen anything like Him. Mighty in miracles, You cause Your enemies to tremble. All the earth will bow down to worship. All the earth will sing Your glories forever. I don't know about you, but I'd rather follow what God says and give Him praise all the time. In fact, that's one of the things I do every day. Every day of my life, I say, Lord, I praise You every day of my life. When I wake up in the morning, Lord, I give You praise every day of my life. He is worthy, isn't He? So I want to invite you to stand with us today, to sing with us today, to lift your voice to God, to clap your hands. We are thrilled to have my son, Luke, and his wife, Francesca, leading worship for us today. We got a few people out of town today. Leslie's out of town and Rick's out of town. But we're also so glad to have our granddaughter, Emma, is also going to be singing with the team today. She asked me if she can sing with the team. And what do you think I said? So Emma has actually started writing her own songs. She's learning piano. She recently had a recital where she played piano and sang a whole lot of songs. So are you ready today, Emma? Now, I don't want any... Listen, don't let my 11-year-old granddaughter out-sing you today. If she can give God praise, we can give God praise too. Say, I came here to praise Him today. Say, I'm ready to give God praise today. No matter what anybody says, I'll never stop praising Him. Lord, we worship You today. We come before You. We lift our voice. Lord, we are glad this is the day You've made. We rejoice in it, Lord. We lift up the name of Jesus above all other names today. Are you ready, everybody? Come on, clap your hands. Sing with us today.
I close my eyes, colors fly. There's no hiding from Your grace. I can't deny Your heart for mine and its unrelenting chase. I was on the edge of deception, caught up in my own hesitation, until Your love took over me. So I let to me, an oasis here awaits us, all the freedom I'll ever need. Now I'm alive, oh la la, oh la la, when I let go and I find life, oh la la, oh no more.
Leave me in the ways of devotion. I don't want to get caught in the motion. My heart is only for you, Lord. So I let go and I let love show me life like it's supposed to be. An oasis, here awaits us, all the freedom I'll ever need. Now I'm alive, oh la la, oh la la. When I let go, then I find life, oh la la, oh la la. When I let go, then I find life.
So I let go and I let love show me life like it's supposed to be.
An oasis, here awaits us, all the freedom I'll ever need. Now I'm alive.
Oh, and I let go and I find life.
Oh, and I let go.
Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let,
you're never gonna let.
Come on, if you believe it, you say
you're never.
Open the heavens, fling wide the gates.
God, send it now. A move of your spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival.
Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again?
Hallelujah. How many of you agree that a revival is really what we need in America? For the Spirit of God to move all across this nation. A revival is what we need. Can you say amen, somebody? Father, we pray that you would send revival all across this land, from the east to the west and the north to the south, that a move of your Spirit would break forth in every town, in every city, in every village, in every state, Lord, that people would be swept into your kingdom, that people would be set on fire for you. In the name of Jesus, we know that Jesus is the only answer. He is the only way to true freedom. You know, we celebrated July 4th yesterday, Day of Independence. Do you know that there's no real freedom without Jesus? The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is truly free indeed. Jesus is the one who brings freedom into our life. Isn't that right? Praise God. What a great song. Lord, send revival. That's the prayer of our heart. Send revival across this nation as you've done it before. I believe the greatest revival that we've ever seen in America is yet to come. I really believe the greatest revival ever. The Bible says when it seems dark, get ready, because it's darkest right before the dawn. I believe the greatest move of God's Spirit we're still going to see. Amen. We want to pray right now before we go into our last song today. We want to pray for you. I want to welcome everyone who's watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us today. We have people watching from all over the world, really. And we just want to tell you, God bless you. We're so glad you tuned in. And all of our members of Ascend Church, you know, we're so glad you're with us today. We're praying for you. I want you to know Pastor Jill and I are praying for you every week, all the time, trusting God for your protection, your safety, your healing, and God's blessing in your life. But we want to pray right now. If you have a prayer request, this is the time to come forward and ask God. You know, the Bible says the reason that we don't have the things that we need is very simple, because we don't ask God. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. God wants you to ask Him for the things you need. So I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come and help us to pray today. And if you need prayer, whatever it may be, maybe you need healing in your body. Let me tell you, Jesus is still the healer. He will heal you today. We've seen, I've literally seen thousands of people healed in my life. And if maybe you have a financial need, the Bible says, my God will supply all of your needs. Maybe you're facing some kind of a depression or addiction. Let me tell you, the Lord will set you free today. He'll bring restoration in your family. Whatever it is, there's nothing that is too hard for Him. There's nothing that is impossible. If you need prayer this morning, don't be shy. Come on forward. Let us pray with you. Let us call out to the Lord. Let's trust God to do what seems impossible. He can make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Can you say amen? And I want you to sing with us as we declare this open heaven. Let's sing and let the presence of God fill this place today, because He inhabits the praise of our people. And let me tell you, if you lift your voice and give God praise, you'll feel His presence come upon you this morning.
The signs and wonders from above, when you poured out your Spirit on the old and the young, in the power of your presence, Holy Spirit, rain falling like a flood, break upon my praise as a sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire burn within my soul as I call on your name. As I call on
stand in your presence, revelations of your love, as I look to the heavens, Holy Spirit, I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire burn within my soul as I call on your name.
Oh,
as I call on your name.
As I call.
Spirit, burn.
Spirit rain falling like a flood. Break upon my praise as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit fire burn within my soul as I call on your name. As I call on your name. As I call on your name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that just floods this place. You're the reason we come together. We come not for just fellowship. We come not just to hear the word, but we come to be in your presence. We come to meet with you, Lord, and we worship you. As we gather today, we lift our hands in worship before you. We thank you for your presence that just begins to fill this place, up and down each aisle and in the life of every person. Father, touch us, speak to us, minister to us, we pray. We open our hearts to you in worship today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beautiful presence of the Lord in this place this morning. Amen. We worship our way into God's presence. So it doesn't matter how we feel when we start out. You may have the cares of the world. You may have the thoughts of the week ahead. You may have concerns about issues. But when you turn your focus on Him, the Bible says, magnify the Lord with me. When you begin to turn your eyes on Him, suddenly He is bigger. He is more able. He is more powerful. He can do what you couldn't imagine that he could do before. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. So good to have you with us. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them, I'm glad to see you. You look good today. Wonderful. Well, good morning, everyone. So good to have you at Ascend Church today. Like my husband said, we welcome those that are watching online. Sorry you couldn't be here today. Maybe there's a variety of reasons, but we're glad that you've joined in to the service today. We ask you just make yourself comfortable. I know at home from experience that there's a lot of distractions, so put those aside and just take this next few minutes to be in the presence of God and hear the word of God and be built up and spiritually encouraged. Amen. And that goes for us. It's easier when you're in a church building than it is when you're sitting in your living room at home, right? You're always thinking about something you could be doing. But I'm glad to be in church and so good to see you today. I like to be able to get up here and take a little look. Hi, Darby. Nice to see you and your family. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church, and we found over this time, because a number of churches are not able to open yet because of logistics and restrictions and all of that, we're thankful to be open, and we've had a lot of visitors because of that, but we appreciate that. We're glad you've come to visit us. We know that it's important for you to be in the house of God. And we thank you for worshiping with us. But if you are here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you. We'd just like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, won't you just wave your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. Welcome. Come on, let's make it like, hi, thank you. God bless you. Tony will get a bag to you. Thank you. There's just a couple of things in that bag, one being a guest card. We ask you to just take a moment and fill that out. We don't want to harass you, send you 50 million emails, but we would like to just give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for filling that out. At the end of the service, we will pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Gives the pastor an opportunity to give you a call. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, I heard somebody say this. They said, church is a place where, thank you, is where the worship lifts us. We've experienced that today. Where the word challenges us. Where the Holy Spirit impacts us. And the fellowship encourages us. You know, we don't come for one of those. All of those are important in themselves. But together, that's what makes the church so special. Amen. And we want to just say, if you want to share us on Facebook or on your mobile app or from YouTube, just send that out. It's a tool that we use to reach out and get people to engage in the service today, people who may not go to church but who would join in the service online. So go ahead and do that if you'd like to. We appreciate that. I want to just remind you of our four purposes of our church. First one is that you would know God. The second one is that you would find freedom. The third one is that you would discover your purpose. And lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. That's what we're working around right here today. Thank you, my dear. Are you going to sing for us? Nice to have my boy.
Stage. Praise God. Yes, we have just had such a wonderful time. My daughter Robin, Robin and Brian, they're not here now, but they've been with us for the past 3 weeks with the four children, our four grandchildren. We've had such a great time. They're leaving on Tuesday. We're going to be sad to see them go, but we're so great to have them here, and my son and Francesca, we're all together, and it's been a while since we're all together. We just unfortunately missed our youngest, Courtney, right, and Nadine. Brady's gone this weekend, but did you have a great July 4th, everybody? That sounds very enthusiastic. You sound like you had an awesome time. We've got some party animals in the house here today. Well, you're in the right place today. Let me tell you right now. Amen. If you are a first-time guest, we're so glad you're here today. I would love to get to meet you. My wife and I always, after service, we'll be in the lobby. If you can stay behind, and we'd love to say hi to you. Is Austin here today? It's so great to have you here. Austin, is your mom, Terry, with you? Visiting us from California. He watches. You watch online every week, I think, right? They watch online, they give online, and we're just so glad to have you with us today. I need you to meet my LA family over here. We need to connect you two because you're in California as well. But God bless you, Austin and Terry. Great to have you with us today. And are you ready for God's word today? Remember, we do have Spanish translation available now, and if you need Spanish translation, just quickly slip into the lobby. You need to get a little receiver and a little earphone, and you can listen along in Spanish as your mom. Let me know how we do there. Let me know how we do there. So, because we're still improving, getting better. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready today to be filled with power, because that's what I want to speak about today. Lord, as I declare your word today, I give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. I'm depending and trusting and relying on you, not myself. I thank you, Lord, that you speak through me today. I thank you for anointing me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who empowers me, and you anoint your word today. And I thank you that everyone that has not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit will be filled today in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. I want to speak about filled with power. Say, filled with power. After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples. I don't know if you know this, but after Jesus rose from the dead, he actually came back and appeared to the disciples over a 40-day period. And he taught them many things. And I want to read here in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 1. It says, again, I write to you again, my dear friend, to give you further details about the life of our Lord Jesus and all the things that he did
and the things that he taught. Just before he ascended into heaven, he left instructions for the apostles that he had chosen by the Holy Spirit. And after the suffering of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. And during these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom realm. And he shared meals with them. In fact, one time Jesus even came and barbecued, made some fish for them. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you know, but Jesus likes barbecue. And it says Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift that I told you about, the gift that the Father has promised. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I promise you this, verse 8 says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. Say, filled with power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even the remotest parts or places of the earth. And the Living Bible says you will receive power to testify about me with great effect. Do you know that the power of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is that we can testify about Jesus, that we can be better witnesses for the Lord. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is about. Another time when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, he told them in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Let me see your hand if you believe today. Wave your hand. These signs are to follow you. What I'm about to say is to follow you. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. It says that they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And it says, so after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. You see, what makes you a powerful witness for Jesus is not only by what you say when you preach the gospel, but God confirms what you preach with signs and wonders and miracles. That's the difference between Christianity and every other religion out there. Christianity is filled with power. We serve a God who is all-powerful, and he has demonstrated his power from Genesis all the way through when Jesus was on the earth. We see he demonstrated the power of God. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are filled with power so you can do the supernatural things that Jesus did. Did you know that? Do you know the Bible says in John 14, in verse 12, that Jesus said, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Jesus said, those who follow him and believe in him will do the same mighty miracles that he did. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to my Father. Now, here's my question. Jesus did many miracles when he was on the earth. He healed sick people. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He healed people that had leprosy. He healed people who were paralyzed. He even raised people who were dead. He set people free from demons. I mean, he said we can do the same mighty miracles that he did. And the reason we can do it is because he's going to the Father. Now, my question is, what does Jesus going to the Father, what has that got to do with me doing miracles? Anybody think you know the answer to that question? It's a real easy one. John 16, John chapter 16, verse 5, Jesus said, but now I'm going back to the Father who sent me, and none of you ask me where I am going. You are very sad from hearing all of this, but I tell you that I'm going to do what is best for you. That is why I'm going away, because the Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I am gone, I will send the Spirit to you. Now, other translations, you know, I read the Passion Bible. It says, I'm going to do what's best for you. But other translations actually say it is to your advantage. It's better for you. Why is it better for me, for Jesus to leave? Because when Jesus was on the earth, he was limited by a human body. He lived in a human body, which meant he could only be one place at one time. And if Jesus had stayed on the earth and he was still here today, you wouldn't be able to talk to Jesus. You wouldn't be able to meet with Jesus. There'd be millions of people all over the world trying to get to Jesus. You wouldn't be able to meet with him. Jesus said, it's better for you for me to go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to come and live on the inside of each and every one of you 24 hours a day. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus is going to live on the inside of you. And we are to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's come to be our teacher. He's come to be our guide. He's come to be our helper. He's come to empower us. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. He said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't see him nor know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. But he will be in you. Now, Jesus said, you know the Holy Spirit because he dwells with you. But he's going to be in you. Now, if you read the New Living Translation, it says he lives with you now, but later on, he's going to be in you. Now, the reason Jesus said the Holy Spirit is with you is because the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus with power to do miracles. The reason we can do the miracles that Jesus did is because he sent the same Holy Spirit who anointed him to fill us with power, just like he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all of the miracles that Jesus did, I don't know if you know this, but all of the miracles Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 10, verse 38, Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. Jesus was anointed with what? The Holy Spirit and great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil, for God had anointed him. Now, it says, verse 39, we apostles were eyewitnesses to all the miracles he performed throughout the land of Israel. Now, the Bible says all the miracles Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why that's so important to understand is because when Jesus left heaven and came to the earth, he laid aside his own power. He laid aside his own, you know, mighty power when he came down to this earth. The scripture tells us that in Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 5, it says, your attitude should be the kind that was shown to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, who although he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. It says, but he laid aside his mighty power. When Jesus came to the earth, he was God in the flesh, but he laid aside his power as God and he lived as a human being. See, Jesus was God incarnate. He is the Son of God. He's the second person of the Godhead. But when he came to the earth, he laid aside his godly power and he lived as a human being. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit when he got baptized when he was 30 years old. Up until the age 30, Jesus was not anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived and experienced life as a human being like you and I did. He never sinned. The Bible says he was without sin, but he didn't. People got this idea. Jesus walked around when he was, you know, walking on the water at his birthday party when he was 10 years old, walking on the water. No, Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit when he was 30 years old. He was dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was anointed with the Holy Spirit when he got baptized. Remember when Jesus got baptized, the Bible says the voice came from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. See, after Jesus' resurrection, he tells them, go wait in Jerusalem Because you've got to wait. You're going to receive the gift the Father promised you. You are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they get filled with the Holy Spirit as they're waiting in the upper room. In Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. And it says, suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all that anyone could bear. And it says, then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes, and it separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. It says, they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. And they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They started to speak out in this new heavenly language that they had never learned before. It's a supernatural language that the Holy Spirit gives you when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with power. These men who were fishermen and ordinary people, everyday common people, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to do the extraordinary. They began to go out and heal the sick. They began to go out and cast out devils. They began to preach the gospel everywhere throughout the world in cities turned upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The same Peter who denied the Lord 3 times. After he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts boldly preaching on the streets of Jerusalem, and 3,000 people get saved and receive Jesus into their life. The same Peter who was hiding in the shadows, all of a sudden, he's bold and he's preaching the gospel and thousands are getting saved. What happened? The power of the Holy Spirit changed him. In the very next chapter, Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John healing a man who was paralyzed at the gate of the temple. What made the difference? The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what made the difference. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church, by and large, has denied the power of God. You can't. Let me tell you, it's hard to find a church today that believes in the power of God. Most churches don't believe this, don't believe that. This passed away, that passed away, this passed. Let me tell you, if it's in the Bible, I believe it, I preach it, and I live it. If it's in that book, I don't believe nothing passed away. Religion tells us the supernatural is not for today. Miracles, signs, wonders, speaking in tongues, casting out devils, that's not for today. The church has been robbed of the power of the Holy Spirit, family. And the result is people go and they sit like mummies on a pew and they listen to sermons telling them that God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that and there's no supernatural here. But we are not going that way, family. We're going to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not afraid of the future. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, it's one thing to be born again. It's one thing to be born of the Spirit, but it's another thing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and get full of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Many people have skipped over Acts chapter 2. They want what's in Acts chapter 3, you know, where the paralyzed man was healed at the gate to the temple. They want signs, they want wonders, they want miracles. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they healed that lame man at the temple. But first they got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They started speaking out in other tongues. And then they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit and they healed that lame man. That's why the Apostle Paul, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, my speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The New Living Bible says, The New Living Translation says, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Contemporary Version says, I simply let God's Spirit show His power. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate His power in the earth today. The power of the Holy Spirit is still for us today. Unfortunately, many people deny the power of the Holy Spirit today. They don't want to talk about speaking in other tongues because they don't want to offend people. Oh, we don't offend anybody, Pastor Steve. We better not say that. We don't want to offend anybody. We better not talk about tithing. We don't offend anybody. We better not talk about talking in tongues. We don't offend anybody. We better not talk. Are you kidding me? You better get ready for it. If you're going to serve Jesus, not everybody's going to love it. Not everybody's going to celebrate it, and not everybody's going to agree with you. Are you with me? The reason that some people also don't want to offend anyone is because they don't want to be persecuted. I tell you right now, when you proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be persecuted. Jesus said you will even be hated. This ain't a popularity contest. I found out if you want to be popular, don't get in the ministry. Jesus wasn't popular everywhere he went. He was popular with sinners. Let me tell you, they loved him. Religious people didn't like him so much. I found out sinners like me, religious people, don't like me so much. When God sent Peter to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in other tongues. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And it says the Jewish believers who came with Peter, they were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. How did they know that they had received the Holy Spirit? How did they know that these Gentiles, it was the first time the gospel had been preached to people who weren't Jewish. How did they know they'd been filled with the Spirit? Because they heard them speaking in other tongues. That's how you know you've been filled with the Spirit. Can your mom hear me okay? Ask her, can she hear okay? Did they fix it? Have they fixed that translation? Maybe you can help them out there, Chester. They need your help. Okay. Let me tell you, being filled with the Holy Spirit was so important to the early church. It was the first question Paul asked when he met believers. The first thing he asked them, like in Acts 19, verse 1, look at this. Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. The first thing he asked them, say the first thing. The first thing he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, they said, we haven't even heard of a Holy Spirit. First thing, is it warm in here? It feels a little warm in here, Chris. What's the temperature at? I notice these things. Is it just me? It feels a little warm in here. So it says, all right, are you still with me? Do you remember what I said? What was the first question Paul asked these people? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? They said, we haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. First thing he asked them. And when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested and they immediately spoke in tongues and began and prophesied. They started speaking in tongues. Paul knew how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So did Peter and John. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 that Philip traveled to a Samaritan city and he preached to them the wonderful news of the Anointed One. And the crowds were eager to receive Philip's message, and they were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders that he performed. Many demon-possessed people were set free and delivered as evil spirits came out of them with loud screams and shrieks, and many who were lame and paralyzed were healed. The result was uncontainable joy filling the city. And then in verse 14 it said, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John down there. And as soon as they arrived, what's the first thing Peter and John do? They prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. First thing they do, they pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. You see, we don't put the same emphasis on the Holy Spirit that they did in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they'd been baptized in water. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, same thing Paul did, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, these people were believers, but they'd been baptized in the name of Jesus. They'd been baptized in water, but they had not yet been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice the first thing the apostles do is send Peter and John, go get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. What that tells me is you can be a believer, you can know the Lord, and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why did Paul and the early apostles place such an importance on this? Because Jesus placed such an importance on this. That's where they got it from. Jesus told them, go wait in the city, wait in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until you receive. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus himself didn't start his ministry until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And then his first miracle was turning the water into wine at the wedding of Cana in Galilee. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience to receive Jesus in your life and being saved. It's a subsequent experience. In Acts 2 verse 38, the Bible says, repent. Peter said, repent. return to God, and each of you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, to have your sins removed, and then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So notice, first you turn to God, you give your life to God, you receive Jesus, you get baptized, and now you're ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? For God's promise of the Holy Spirit, verse 39, Acts 2:39, God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, it's for me. And your families, for those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Because some people try and tell you, this was only for the apostles. Oh, yeah, I believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's only for the apostles. Peter said it's for those who haven't even been born yet. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Just like salvation and water baptism is for everybody, being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is for everybody. Every believer should pray in tongues. If you've not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Today is your day. You are going to receive today. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will fill you and live within you. Give me that scripture, Natalie. Romans 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me. And he's giving life to my mortal body. I really felt led by the Lord today to speak about the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is so important in my life. He's the third person in the Godhead. I don't know if you know this, but God is comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three separate persons. Together, one God. Just like you have an egg, and you have the shell, and then you have the white part. What do you call it? The egg white. There's an official name for it. Albumen. There you go. I knew it. I just didn't want to show off my... You got the eggshell, you got the albumen, the white part, then you got the yolk. Do you know you can even separate them? You can separate the yolk from the albumen, right? Like my kids, they only eat egg whites, like 25 egg whites every morning. No yolks, just egg whites. We're going through eggs like you can't believe. The chickens are popping out these eggs, Tom. So it's the same with God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three separate persons, but one God. Are you with me? You see this when Jesus was baptized. This is a great example. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. And it says, then suddenly the voice of the Father shouted from the sky and said, this is the Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him. There we see the Father speaking from heaven, Jesus the Son being baptized, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? So you've got to understand the Holy Spirit is God. In Acts chapter 5, it says, Peter said, Ananias, why did you let Satan fill your heart and make you think you could lie to the Holy Spirit? You only pretended to give it all, yet you hid back part of the proceeds from the sale of your property to keep for yourselves. He said, before you sold it, wasn't it yours to sell or to keep? And after you sold it, wasn't the money entirely at your disposal? How could you plot such a thing in your heart? You haven't lied to people. You lied to God. That means the Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God. Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible says in Romans 8:27, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The Holy Spirit has a mind. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit has a will. And then in Ephesians 4:30, it says, never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. That means the Holy Spirit has emotion. These are all attributes of personality. Mind, intelligence, will, emotion. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a mind, a will, emotion. He's a divine personality. He participated in the creation of the world. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what does verse 2 say? The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering on the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was there, active in creation. Did you know that? Jesus said, light be. And the Holy Spirit's the power that caused it to happen. The Holy Spirit is the one who anointed Jesus with the power to perform miracles. He also is the one who raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's been sent to the earth to empower us. He's called our helper, our comforter, our strengthener, our counselor, our friend, our teacher, our guide. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, dear friend. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit and His power in my life. There's so many blessings that He brings. One of them is praying in other tongues. I tell you right now, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He enables you to pray in a supernatural language. It's called praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. That means I don't understand what I'm saying. My spirit is praying by the help of the Holy Spirit. The New Living Translation says it like this. If I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, not your mind. You don't know what you're saying. It's a spiritual language. You don't understand what you're saying. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people. He's speaking to God. Intimate mysteries in the Spirit. I'm praying mysteries, speaking directly. God knows what I'm saying. And He's the one who's given me the words to say. You may not understand what you're saying, but you're speaking mysteries to God. In fact, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray God's will for your life. Do you know that when you pray in tongues, you pray the will of God for your life? Yeah, Romans 8 verse 26 says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And it says, the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying because the Spirit is pleading for us believers in harmony with God's own will. When I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying God's will to be done in my life. The Holy Spirit knows what God's will is for my life. Sometimes I don't even know what God's will is, but I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying the will of God for my life before I even realize what it is. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? One of the things I'm most thankful for in my life is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, because it's my go-to. I mean, when I'm facing situations where I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to do, I begin to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit has come to help us to pray when you don't know what to pray. Paul the Apostle, he understood the power of praying like this, because in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than any of you. Paul knew how powerful it was to speak and pray in tongues. He said, I pray in tongues more than any of you. In 1 Corinthians 14, 5, Paul said, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. I feel the same way. Man, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues because I know what it's done in my life and I know what it'll do in your life. The Holy Spirit has been sent for you. You need Him. You need to be able to pray in this heavenly language so you can pray the will of God for your life when you don't even know what it is. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Let me give you four reasons real quick why it's so important for you to pray in the Spirit, and then I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Number one, when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're saying, but you pray the will of God for your life even when you don't know what it is. Even when you don't know what it is. When you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps you to supernaturally pray the will of God. And that's when all things work together for your good, because that's what the next verse says, and all things work together for good. Do you know when all things work together for good? When you start praying in the Spirit, you pray in tongues, you're praying the will of God, He causes all things to come together for your good. Because you're not praying with your own wisdom, you're praying with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, even though you don't know what you're saying. This is what allows God to work on your behalf, so that He can bring everything in my life into His plan. When you pray in tongues, you can expect that all things will work together for your good, because God is able to arrange your future. He's able to arrange you to meet the right people. He's able to orchestrate things when you face a problem and you don't know what the solution is. I just say, Holy Spirit, I don't know. I've got a difficult problem. I don't know what to pray. I commit this to you. Help me to pray the will of God to be done. Help me to make the right decisions and order and direct my footsteps in the name of Jesus. And I start praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. There's so many other reasons and benefits of praying in tongues, family. Number two is when you pray in tongues, you are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and you become sensitive to His voice. You become sensitive to His guidance because you see 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. When you pray in tongues, you're actually spending time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit because you're interacting with Him. Because when you pray in tongues, He's the one who's giving you the words to say and you become more sensitive to His voice. You begin to recognize how the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you. Are you with me, family? When I pray in the Spirit, I'm not speaking to men. I'm speaking directly to God. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. That's why I like to pray in tongues as much as I can. God wants us to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Natalie. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word, he says, because he's not speaking to people. He's speaking to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit unto God. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is in direct contact with God, who is a spirit, and you're talking to Him by a supernatural means. When I pray in the Spirit, not only am I supernaturally praying God's will for my life to be done in my life, but I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. It makes me more sensitive. The more you pray in tongues, the more sensitive you get to His voice, to receive guidance, to receive wisdom. Amen. Number three, when you pray in tongues, the third reason, you are supernaturally edified. This is one of the major reasons and benefits why I pray in tongues, because I need to get edified. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. And the New Living Bible says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. You are strengthened when you pray in tongues. You are edified when you pray in tongues. You know, I think about David. When David experienced the darkest time of his life was when his hometown of Ziklag was attacked by the Amalekites, and they kidnapped all the women and they kidnapped all the children and they burned the village to the ground. And when David and his men got back, the village was burned down. The wives, the women and the children were taken captive, and his men sat down. The Bible says they wept until they could weep no more. They cried until they could cry no more. And David's men spoke about stoning David. David was seriously worried. He was distressed. What did David do? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the New King James says he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now listen, the Bible doesn't say how David encouraged himself, but I can imagine David getting aside into a solitary place, started worshiping God, started reminding God of all of his promises, and that's great. And we can do that today, and I do that today. But let me tell you something that we can do that David couldn't do. You can supernaturally encourage yourself and strengthen yourself when you pray in tongues. There is a supernatural strength and encouragement and edification that takes place on the inside of you. That's what I do. When I feel weak, family, when I feel discouraged, when I have times I don't know what to do, I have had situations where I really felt like I didn't know what to do. I felt so alone. I felt so discouraged. I felt so down. I didn't see any way out. You know what I do? I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues. And all of a sudden, after praying a while, there's like a strength that rises up on the inside of me. There's an edification. There's an encouragement that happens on the inside of me. And it's supernatural. And I'm so thankful for being able to pray in tongues. I can't imagine living my life without praying in tongues. It builds you up like nothing else can ever do. It's the power of the Holy Spirit begins to work when you pray in tongues. Are you with me this morning? In Jude verse 20, it says, you constantly and you progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. The Amplified Version says you build yourselves on your most holy faith. You make progress and you rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you rise higher and higher. You rise above those problems. Like in edifice, you rise up higher and higher. You build yourself up, family. Thank God for the Holy Spirit and being able to pray in this heavenly language. Can you say amen? The Bible says you, he that prays in a tongue edifies himself. Who edifies you? Who encourages you? Who builds you up? You, the one, you determine how much edification you need, because the more you pray, the more edified you get. Are you with me? Greek scholars say we have another word that's closer in meaning to the word edify, and that word is the word charge. Just like you would charge a battery, you can supernaturally charge your spirit by praying in the Spirit. And let me tell you, every day we need to be recharged in our spirit. You are charged with the power of the Holy Spirit when you pray in tongues. The anointing of God, the presence of God comes upon you. You feel it rising up in your heart. You feel God's presence when you pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 says, a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. And the Passion Bible says the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. You can determine how edified, how encouraged you want to be, because then you pray in the Spirit, you begin to get edified. Just like every night when I go to bed, I plug in my phone to charge it up next to my bed. While I'm sleeping, get up, it's fully charged up. Two nights ago, I plugged in my phone, but I've got it on an extension cord. And someone, somehow, had unplugged the extension cord. I didn't see it. You know, it was kind of lying on the curtain. I plugged in my phone and get up next day. My phone's like gone down. What's going on with my phone? It was on charge all night. And I wake up, it's like 3% or something. Then I figured out someone unplugged it from the wall. I had to plug it back in to get it charged up. Do you know you can determine how much you want to get charged up and get plugged in to the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the more you pray, the more edified you'll get. Number four, the last thing I'm going to say is when you pray in the Spirit, you experience a supernatural rest and a supernatural refreshing. Isaiah 28 verse 11 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people of whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Do you know, it's so sad to me that there are some people that will not hear what I'm saying today. They won't hear it. They like switch off their mind. You talk about talking in tongues. Oh, they switch off their mind. They just won't hear. What is this rest and this refreshing Isaiah is talking about? He's prophesying about new covenant believers who will speak with another tongue, with stammering lips, and it will bring rest and refreshing to them. John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus was telling them, you're going to receive, it's going to be like a river of living water. Jesus likened the Holy Spirit to living water. How many of you know water refreshes you? So does praying in the Spirit. Say this, say praying in tongues refreshes me, edifies me, encourages me, strengthens me. Say, I need to pray in tongues every day. Acts 3 verse 19 says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you, when you get in the presence of God, and one of the greatest ways of getting in the presence of God, you can worship the Lord, you should worship the Lord, but then pray in the Spirit and you will feel times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Speaking in tongues brings you into God's presence. It brings you into God's anointing. It causes you to be rested and refreshed. The dictionary says the word refresh means to impart fresh strength or energy, or to reinvigorate, to revive, to make oneself fresher or more energetic. That's what it means to refresh. Praying in tongues brings a supernatural refreshing, a supernatural rest. The word rest means to recover strength, to recharge one's batteries. That's what it means. rest, recharge your batteries to freedom, freedom from anxiety or disturbance, freedom from whatever worries or disturbs you, to be inwardly quiet, to be composed, to be peaceful. This is all part of rest. Do you know when you pray in tongues, you get a rest. It brings peace and rest to your mind. I've had where my mind was racing with all these things. The enemy's telling me this is going to go, that's not going to work out. This, oh, you're going down, the end of you, blah, blah, blah. All these, have you ever had thoughts racing through your mind where you can't even look, put your head on the pillow, you can't even sleep? I've had that. And I begin praying in tongues and a rest comes upon my mind. A rest and a peace rises up within me. And all of a sudden, I have a, Sometimes the doctor would tell you, all you need is a rest. You just need a vacation. Let me tell you, the best rest in the world, you can take this rest cure every day. It's better than any vacation. It doesn't even cost you anything. In these days of insecurity and turmoil and perplexity and fear, we need this rest. We need this refreshing. It comes by praying in the Spirit. It's a supernatural rest and refreshing. Amen? Amen. Let me quickly tell you some myths about praying and speaking in tongues. These are some myths. One of the first myths is that you start speaking fluently the first day. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was 16 years old. Pastor Theo prayed for me. I just had a couple of words, just a couple of words. And I was praying these couple of words. I kind of felt silly. And Pastor Theo said, don't worry, the same thing happened to me. Just keep on praying those couple of words. Keep on praying. Just keep on praying. And I kept on praying a couple of words. And one night I'm lying in my bed, 16 years old, and all of a sudden it's like a river. This whole language. I've been praying in tongues ever since. 40 years. Second myth is you can't control it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray with words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit and I will sing with words I understand. I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with my understanding. In other words, I'm the one. I can pray as much or as little as I want. Some people worry they're going to be in Walmart and all of a sudden they're going to be, Pastor Steve, I don't want to do that, man. They're going to think I'm crazy. This is some people think. No, you choose when you want to pray in tongues. Number three, some people say, it sounds like gibberish. Sounds like gibberish. Can I tell you, any language you don't know sounds like gibberish? I heard people speak Chinese. Sounds like gibberish to me. I don't know Chinese. Number four, people say, it's demonic. It's from the devil. Let me tell you, I serve the devil with all my heart. I never spoke in tongues. If speaking in tongues was from the devil, I would have got it for sure. I can guarantee you that right now. Number five, it's not for everybody, Pastor Steve. It's not for everybody. Oh, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30 says, do all speak with tongues? Some people think that means that speaking in tongues isn't for everyone. But if you read that entire chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see that Paul's talking about the nine ways the Holy Spirit manifests himself through believers in a public way, in a public ministry. Like in verse 7, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith through the same Spirit, another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, another the working of miracles, another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, this is talking about being used by God to speak in tongues publicly before the church, to bring a message in tongues and then bring an interpretation of what the Lord is saying. And Paul explains that the body of Christ, like a human body, has many parts, but we're all part of one body. We each have a part to play. It says in verse 27, you are all the body of Christ. You are members individually. It says God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, and second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So people take that and they say, you see, Pastor Steve, it's not everybody. Not everyone speaks in tongues. Not everyone interprets. No, not everyone has the gifts of healings. There's a special anointing where God anoints you to minister to the sick. Like all Roberts had a special healing anointing. You may not have that special gift, but you can still pray for people to be healed because the Bible says the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 16, that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Every believer can lay hands on the sick. Every believer can pray for healing, but not every believer is going to have a, you know, worldwide healing ministry like Oral Roberts. Not every believer is going to get up in church and speak a message in tongues and bring an interpretation to it. But let me tell you, every believer can speak in tongues unto God in their private life. I cannot overestimate the benefits and the value of praying in the Spirit. Is it possible you're losing some battles because you're not putting on the whole armor of God, because you're not building yourself up spiritually, because you're not allowing your spirit to pray and speak these mysteries under God? Let me tell you, praying in tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. You'll never enter the supernatural realm without praying in tongues. When I was 16, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues. It changed my life. I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, let me tell you, as we close, this is how to receive. Because today, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, today is your day. Say, today's my day. Come on, say, today's the day I receive. The Holy Spirit is for me. Let me tell you what you need to know as we pray. Number one, how to receive the Holy Spirit. You must understand, firstly, that the Holy Spirit is a free gift from God. There's nothing you can do to work for Him, to earn Him, or to deserve Him. He is a gift. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter said, each one of you must turn from sin, return to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you also shall receive this gift, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. All you got to do with the gift is receive Him. Number two, the Holy Spirit is not just for some special people, but He is God's promise for all believers. Acts 2:39, God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say the Holy Spirit is for me. Say, the Holy Spirit has been sent for me and your family, for those yet to be born and everyone whom the Lord calls to Himself. Number three, you ask in faith for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and you know that you will receive. How do you know that? Because Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more will God give you the Holy Spirit if you just ask Him? Number four, you need to speak out the new words or the strange sounds coming up from your spirit. Feels like from your belly, from within. Doesn't come out of here. The words come out of here. Acts 2 verse 4, they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, but He's not going to force you. The Holy Spirit is not going to come, grab your hair, slap you up the side of the head, grab your tongue, make you talk. He'll prompt you, but you have to speak out the words. You do the speaking. You got to open your mouth. Do you know what you said, Pastor Steve? No idea. No idea. Number five, don't let your mind get in the way. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. Don't quench, don't stifle the Spirit. Number six, breathe in deeply as an act of faith to receive the Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Number seven, as you breathe out, trust the Holy Spirit inside you and begin to speak out whatever sounds seem easy to make. Begin to speak those words out. And number eight, don't stop speaking till there's a free flow of words. Now I'm going to pray right now for anyone in here that is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Today is your day to receive. I want to ask you, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to stand up right now, because you can be filled right where you're standing, right where you are. I didn't even have to lay hands on you. I want you to stand up. If you're not filled with the Spirit, stand up right now. If you want to speak in tongues, stand up right now. Take that stand for the Lord. Just stand to your feet. Where's Emma at? Where's Emma? I want Emma to come in here and Jude. Emma and Jude. Would you ask Emma and Jude to come in here, my grandchildren? Other day I was praying in tongues in my office. I was praying in the Spirit. And Emma, my granddaughter, came in and she said, you speaking another language, Pops? So I'm praying in tongues. Today, my granddaughter is going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. She's 11 years old. And you are going to be filled today. Now, here's the thing. This is something you've got to desire. I'm not going to force anybody. I've presented the Word of God to you. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is so important that Jesus spoke about Him all the time. And He told the disciples, well, don't go anywhere. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And they waited for 50 days. Are you ready today? Say, I'm ready. I am ready to receive. All right, I'm going to ask Christians that are nearby, without laying hands on them, I want you to just kind of stand around and just stretch your hand toward them. Will you do that? Just stretch. No, if you're here for prayer, you just stand there. But if people around them, stretch your hand toward them. because we're going to pray together, especially if you're filled with the Spirit. How many people do pray in tongues here? Wave at me if you pray in tongues here today. Wave your hand if you pray. If you're not waving, you're either waving or standing. You're waving or standing. If you're filled with the Spirit, you pray in tongues, wave at me. Come stand right here. Do you stand right here? Just look at me. Look at me. Lift your hands. Everybody, close your eyes. Lift your hands right now. Say this. Say, Father, I thank you. Everybody, say, Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to come to this earth for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Say this. Say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. I receive you right now. Thank you for filling me. Thank you that I can speak out in that heavenly language, that I can speak out in tongues right now. In the name of Jesus, get ready. Receive in the name of Jesus. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Be filled right now. Receive right now in Jesus' name. Begin to speak out in tongues right now. Speak those words out. Pray with me right now. Just say the kia raba si kia rabanda boraba. Ye karaba rebeberibe kia rebe rabababarabo. If you can pray in the Spirit, pray now. Come on, pray with us. Lift your voice. Yarabanda bore bebe bebe ribi bibi yarababa rebe bebe be rababara bore bebe. There you go. Kiarabanda baba. What you say? Kiarabenda barabusi kerebenda babara bobo. Ikarabande be. Come on, church. Erebebende dianda rabo. Speak those words out. Speak those words out. Rebobonda baba rebebende bebenda babara bore be. If you are not praying in tongues, come up right now. I'll pray. I'll lay hands on you. If you want me to lay hands on you, come up right now. Come up right now before we close. In the name of Jesus, be filled, receive right now in Jesus' name. Begin to speak it out. Don't speak English. Don't speak Spanish. Don't speak any language you know. Speak out those words that you don't know. It's coming out of your belly, out of your spirit. Rebonda baba rebebebe ribi arababanda bon. Come on, church. Iarabanda baba. Come on, help me, Tom. Erebenda babanda bo rebebenda bam. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Receive right now. Receive the Holy Spirit. Rebebe ribi ki erebondon. Just begin to speak those words out. Forget about everybody who's around you right now. Forget about everybody else. Begin to speak those words out. Rebonda babanda babanda bandi bi. Are you praying? Come on. Rebondon. Be filled in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be filled. In the name of Jesus, receive right now. Rebonda baban. Begin to pray. Begin to speak those words coming up out of here, those sounds. Ikarabanda busu. Come on, church. I want to hear you pray. Lift your voice. Did you stand up for prayer? You're already praying in the Spirit, right? Praise God. You're praying and bless your husband up there, right? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Say thank you, Father, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that I can speak out in that heavenly tongue. Erebesi karabanda bore beberi bibi arabanda bore bebenda basi ekera bababa barabore bebebebere bebera bababa baraboboro bore beberi bi ebebebebenda babarabonde besi karababa barababa. I want to pray for everyone who's watching online. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is with you right now. If you want to be filled, just lift your hands wherever you are. Say, Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, be filled. Receive. Receive in Jesus' name. Begin to speak out in that heavenly tongue. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes.
Burn
like a fire. Consume us, Lord. Hallelujah. We surrender. We surrender to you, Lord.
To your Lord.
Hallelujah. All right. Be seated for a moment, if you would. Be seated for a moment. Praise God. Are you doing good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Praise God. Won't you bow your head for a moment, church? Won't you just close your eyes for a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I pray for every person here today. I thank you for filling each person with your Holy Spirit here today. While you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, listen, we never ever end a service without giving people opportunity to make sure that all is right, all is well between you and God. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm not sure if all is right between me and God. I've made mistakes in my life. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God, but I'm not absolutely certain of what would happen to me if I died. Let me tell you the good news. You can be certain. You can leave here today and you can know that all is well, all is right between you and God, that every mistake, every sin you ever committed is forgiven, is washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There's a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer you're going to pray. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. And I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly right now, just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Include me. Is there anyone that would lift their hand? Tom? Is there someone? No? All righty. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them you're filled with power.
I'm filled with power.
Did you get something out of this today?
Good.
Give God thanks and praise. Will awesome. You do that?
Praise God. That was powerful, right? Maybe you're visiting today and you're like, how did I end up here? Let me tell you, it's God works this way. You know, I've seen people time and time again that are hungering for more of God, but they don't know what it is they need next. And they're searching after God, and they wander in here, and they wander in here on a day that Pastor Steve preaches about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, it ain't no mistake. It's not a mistake. The Holy Spirit will lead you into the next. It happened to me. I got saved in a Baptist church, and then I had this hunger, just praying, worshiping God, and a friend's mom said to me, there's another step for you. There's another step for you. You need to be filled with the Spirit. So I was so thankful for that. It's a big day. Amen. And for the rest of us, I love that refresher in the purposes of praying in the Spirit. Don't you? Amen. Well, now as we end the service, we are going to have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And it is an opportunity to invest in eternal things. Amen. And read you a couple of scriptures from Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom. It's a book of, if you do this, this will happen in your life. If you do that, that'll be the consequence, right? So constantly guiding you about choices that you make in different areas of your life. And this is talking about, it says in Proverbs 3 verse 6, in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you, and He will crown your efforts with success. You know, if you want to give anybody any advice, there's one right there. Always put God first. Just put God first and let Him crown you with success. Amen. And direct you. And then verse 9 and 10, talking specifically about money, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. Remember, we're talking about first, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, he's talking to farmers, so he talks about your barns and the wine and the crops, but it's talking about your wealth. It's talking about your income. It's talking about whatever God blesses you with. Put Him first. Honor Him first, and you'll see the blessing. So keep God first. Love God first. Keep His word first and give to Him first. Amen. That's what the tithe is, when we take the first tenth, as we see it throughout the scriptures, the first tenth, and we say, I honor you as you are my source. I put my trust in you. I believe you provide for me. Amen. And then He directs and supplies. So today, as you get ready to give, there's various ways. There's an envelope right where you are. There's ways that come up on the screen. Those that are watching online, it's a simple click on give. It'll take you to a site. If you've never done it before, you set up one time, and then thereafter, it's just a matter of entering a password. It's just very simple to give. We appreciate those that faithfully give online throughout the week, people that give reoccurring giving. It does something for a church, particularly through something that we've been through, particularly through the summer, where people are regular tithers. It's such a blessing to a church, so we thank you for that. And as you prepare to give, I'm going to pray. Father, we take you at your word, and we honor you. We yes. remind you, we just remind ourselves, and we just declare it with our giving, yes. that you are first, and yes. we honor you. Yes. And also we trust you. We trust you that you open doors. We yes, trust you Lord. With our careers. We trust you with our family. Yes. We trust you with our provision. That yes. even if we see doors close, we can still trust you, because you have something for yes. us. So Father, we thank you for your blessing upon our finances today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray for everyone who's watching online, all those who've been so faithful to give every week online. I thank you for their faithfulness. You said the faithful person will abound with blessings. I thank you that blessings are abounding in their life. I thank you for providing every need. Thank you for the open windows of heaven above them. Thank you for flooding them with blessing, protecting them from the devourer, Father. In Jesus' name, I declare you are blessed. Father, we give you all the thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We really appreciate all of you so faithful to give and give online. I want to encourage you, as you go home today, please be sure to, in the lobby, take some of these invitation cards. Keep them with you. It's a great way to invite someone to come to church next week. And if you haven't yet got our Through the Bible in a Year reading program, that we have these cards available. They're free out there in the lobby. You're welcome to take one. I use this. I've been using it for years. It's a great way to read through your Bible, and it's been a blessing to me. So we've got them out there for you. Praise the Lord. It's been so wonderful for me to have Luke and Francesca here today, and thank you so much having my son here with me, in whom I'm well pleased right here. And my kids, Robin and Brian, and man, I'm going to miss you next week. I'm going to miss seeing you next week. But they're over involved in Hillsong Church, LA, and Lucas, of course, VU Church, Luke and Francesca down in Miami. So anyway, praise the Lord. We'll look forward to next summer, right? Andrea came and took wonderful pictures of our family. I put a couple on Facebook. Such great pictures, Andrea, so much. Well, praise the Lord. We love you all. Thank you for being here today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. We'll see you next Sunday. Bring someone to church. Invite someone next Sunday. It's going to be great. I guarantee you that. God bless. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.